All right, Exodus chapter 20. Now we're getting right on down through this thing. And we've been covering quite a bit of stuff and getting a good spiritual application to it. And I tell you, if this hasn't done anything for anybody else, it certainly has helped me to realize that just because something was... And now this is kind of... It's really, really profound what I'm fixing to say here. But just because something was written a long, 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 long time ago doesn't mean that it's not any more powerful now than it was then. Because what it was when they come off the mountain with it is just as strong as it is today. One of the things you can look at it and say is, well, this is the one thing that we have in our possession that is written that we know of by God Himself and not by man. Man didn't write these. When Moses went up on that mountain, he come down with them two tablets of stone. It was written by the hand of God on the tablets of stone. So these things are not things that were written by man. They wasn't come up with by man. They were come up with by God, and He put them in stone. And to me, putting them in stone, writing in stone, means not to be altered, not to be changed, not to be ignored. Amen. All right, let's get on down here. We've come through five of them already. We went through Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother last week, as well as Remember the Sabbath Day. Now, we're going to cover two more. I wanted to try to get three in, but when I got to looking more into the Thou Shalt Not Steal, which is the eighth one, there was so much in that, I just wouldn't have had time to have preached it all. So, we're just going to try to get two of them in tonight. One of them, we're going to start in verse 13. He says, Thou shalt not kill. Well, that's pretty easy. Thou shalt not kill, and then verse 14, Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, now we're going to start there with Thou shalt not kill, and I don't know why it is, but anytime you're dealing with an individual about their soul, the first thing you're trying to help them to realize is they're a sinner. Nobody can be found unless they first figure out that they're lost. Amen, you can't be saved unless you realize you're a sinner. All right, so here you're trying to talk to somebody and trying to help them realize that they're a sinner and they're in need of a Savior, and one of the things that they try to do to help you understand that they're not that bad of a person is they say, well, I ain't never killed nobody. Well, that's why do they always go to that one? You know, you'd almost think that they would consider that to be the worst commandment you could ever break. Well, if that was the worst one you could ever break, number one wouldn't be, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I mean, people do you understand the fact that the Lord would probably, now I know that the Bible says if you've offended in one, you're guilty of all, but do you realize that if the Lord had wanted that commandment to have been the worst one that could have been offended against, He would have probably had it a little further up in the list than six? You know what I find funny is the number six is the number of man. I mean, the Antichrist is going to show up as the man of sin, and what's his number? 666. Six is the number of a man. And when the Lord took the sixth commandment into effect, it was, Thou shalt not kill. And what He was talking about is He was talking about murder. And listen, murder's not just murder, a physical murder. There's plenty of other ways you can kill somebody. We talking there just a minute ago, you kill them with kindness. you know, but... just a few things I want to give you tonight. We're going to go through these kind of quick. But every 10 minutes, every minute that passes, there's been 10 murders that took place in the world. That's the statistic as of 2012, 2013, I think. That's as of then. I don't know if it's changed any from then to now. But as of 2013, 14, somewhere in there, the statistic was that every minute there are 10 murders that take place in the world. Now, the statistic that happened about 15, 20 years ago said that out of every person that dies every 6 seconds, one of them goes to hell. Now, just wrap your mind around that for just a minute. You mathematicians, just wrap your mind around that for a minute. Every minute, every 60 seconds that goes by, 10 people lose their lives. Now, every 6 seconds out of that minute, one of them souls goes to hell. Every 6 seconds. Now that's from murder. That don't count natural death, health issues, accidental death. That don't include any of that stuff. That's just talking about homicide. That's just talking about somebody who lost their life by the hand of another person. You think about that. I mean, there's a lot of people, brother and sister, who commit all kinds of heinous crimes of murder and never even get their hand caught, they never get their comeuppance, they never get found out, and they think they've got away with it scot-free. And I'm here to tell you today that the Lord ain't going to let them get away with it. It's going to come to light one day. The Bible says nothing done in darkness. There's nothing that will be done in darkness shall not be brought to light. Abortionists are going to be brought to account for the fact that they had their hand in murdering 40,000 unborn children a year. 40,000 unborn children a year, and the people that passed the laws that made it legal for it to happen are going to be held just as much account as the ones who went in and done it themselves, as well as the parent who decided that they didn't want that unborn child. That's what's going to happen. Mafia. Some people think it's a myth. Some people think it ain't really real. Let me tell you something. It's real. There's stuff like that going on, and they take people out, and they put hits out. Listen, it used to be that there was a bunch of people down there in Florida that you could go to them if you know where to find them, offer them $10,000 and give them a name and a location and a date, and they'd not ask a single question. Amen? What is that? Them people that ain't never been caught. People that ain't never been found. They know, the Lord knows who they are. He knows exactly who pulled the trigger. He knows exactly who picked up the knife. He knew exactly who pulled the rope. He knows exactly who cut the brake line. The Lord knows who they are, and He knows where they are. And justice will be had on them people. Amen. A drunk driver. Why is it that a man can get behind the wheel of a car and be drunk as Cooter Brown and head down the road and hit a family of five and kill half of them and wind up not getting anything as far as murder goes? They'll put him in jail and say, no, that was involuntary manslaughter. The man should have known that he ought not to have got behind the wheel of a car with that junk in his system, and he'd have known that that was going to be a life that he could have ended. Let me tell you something. I ain't trying to get too crazy, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I had a run-in with somebody here about a week or so ago, and I had this person come fly by our house, and I stepped out to the edge of the road and made my voice very plain and very clear, and I said, slow down. The person got out of sight. Next thing I know, my phone's beeping with a message. I'm going to tell you, Facebook's of the devil, because this person, all they had to do was go on Facebook and look my name up, and they found me, sent me a message through Facebook and said, the next time you want to try to be a law enforcement officer, you better have a badge, a radar gun, and a squad car. Otherwise, I'm going to come back and start making all kinds of threats. I sent them a message back, and I said, I ain't interested in making threats. I said, but my wife and my daughter were on the other side of the road if you'd have been paying attention, and they were going to be getting ready to cross the road. And if you hadn't paid attention, you'd have hit them when you come through, and that would have been a scar on your life, and that would have been a scar on your record, and you'd have had to live with that for the rest of your days. And I sure would hate to see somebody as young as you with something like that on you for the rest of your life. They sent me a message back and they said, if you ain't got enough sense to tell your wife and daughter not to cross the road when they hear a car coming from all the way away from where I was, then if they got hit, I'd have no remorse nor regret that I'd hurt or killed either one of them. Now, can I tell you how much of my flesh got up in me and wanted to call him and say, I tell you what, you know where I am right now. You just come on back over here and we'll fix this. Say, what'd you do? I bowed my head, prayed for that individual, and ask God to just give me the grace to get over that thing. But I tell you, there's a lot of people that's out there right now walking around with that on their minds and that on their record, and ain't nothing ever been done to them because they took a life that was innocent, that wasn't doing anything to any harm to anybody. But just because they decided to do something that they thought they'd be able to handle, well, I can handle it. I've got liberty and I've got freedom to do what I want to do. And if I want to intoxicate myself and get behind the wheel of my vehicle, ain't nobody can stop me. Amen. Let me tell you something. That stuff's going to come to record one day. And the Lord's going to have His will and His way on them folks. Amen. All right, who else are we talking about here? People that get away with murder. I'll tell you, every Christ-rejecting sinner that ain't never been born again has gotten away for the time being with what they think is murder. Because their sin put the Son of God on the cross, and He died for them. They put everything they were, everything they are, and everything they will be was placed on Him on Calvary's cross. And He stands there and says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people are turning their back on Him, turn their nose up to Him, and they spit on the sacrifice as though it were nothing. And I'll tell you what they're guilty of. They're guilty of murder. They're guilty of deicide. What is that? It ain't a homicide. Homicide's mortality. Deicide means you killed the sinless Son of God. And that's what they're guilty of. And they're going to stand account of that one day, and what they think they've got away with on this earth, they're going to realize it's going to land them in an eternal eternal devil's hell. And they ain't going to get no escape. Thou shalt not kill. Now, I want to talk to you just about a couple of people or a couple of times when these are killers that God protects. So would you believe God would protect a killer? Let me show you what I'm talking about. How about animals? Animals out there in the wild. God protects them, don't He? Don't the lion reach out and get him a tasty zebra and chew him all up and feed his family with him? I don't see the Lord taking them out. All right, how about this? How about the fact that people go out and kill other people, and then when they come to court for it, they stand there and say, well, I plead insanity. I'm just doing what's my natural instinct to preserve myself. See, the Lord will pardon an animal for it, but there's a difference between an animal and human. And they try to claim that they don't have any control over their own thoughts and their own... No, let me tell you something. Either the Bible's a liar or they're a liar. And the Bible says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. And if you did it because you wanted to. Amen. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yeah. Amen. All right, how about this? How about whenever me or Brother Bill or Brother Candler or maybe one of you folks that likes to do this sort of thing, I don't know if anybody likes to hunt or fish, but I know I like to go hunting. Brother Candler likes to go hunting. I like to go fishing. Brother Candler likes to. What about when we drop the trigger on one of them big old fluffy Bambis out there in the woods? Amen. Glory to God. Somebody said, yummy. Yes, that's right. I think about that sweet meat and that back strap on that grill. Man, I'm going to tell you, my mouth goes to salivating. I go get me a little lard out of that lard jug, Brother Ken. I can't eat that stuff just lean. It just don't taste right. Put that lard in there with it and make that thing have a little fat content to it. Man, glory, you talk about something good. But I'll tell you what, the Lord ain't sitting here going, you are going to die for the sins of murdering Bambi's daddy. I almost think the Lord be up there and like, easy now, watch it, right? Wait. Time it just right. Lord said, that's a big one now. I didn't bring him here for you to miss him. Amen. How about manslaughter? I don't think that's something that the Lord's going to hold a man accountable for when he couldn't help it. How about a freak accident on the side of a car accident where nobody could be helped? How about weather conditions that caused a vehicle to hydroplane, or it caused a vehicle to slide out of control, or maybe the brakes went out, or maybe the tire blew, or something like that, and it caused the car to go across the road and hit another vehicle, and somebody lost their life in that situation. But nothing could be helped. Nothing could be done. I mean, listen, over in Leviticus, the Lord even said if there was two men out in a field and one slew the other one by an accident, they set up cities of refuge for the man who was the slayer to go and stay and have a place of safety. But if he come out of that, then the Bible says the avenger of blood, he was free, he was open season, he was free game. Involuntary death. How about self-defense? You telling me that the Lord's going to hold somebody accountable when a person breaks into their house with the intent of hurting them or their family, and they protect their family and protect themselves? No, the Lord protects people like that. The Lord takes care of people like that. How about military order? How about when these men and women go overseas to fight for your freedoms, and it's them or the enemy, and they have to pull the trigger that ends the life of an individual? You think the Lord's going to sit here and say, now you're a murderer? No, he's going to say protecting of the... I mean, listen, how many times did the Lord send Israel into a place and say, now you wipe them all out, men, women, children, all of them? He didn't hold them accountable for it. You know what he did? In fact, on a number of occasions, the Lord said, you go in and you take all of them out, men, women, children, all of them, and if you don't take them all out, I'm going to take you out. See, there's a difference. Executioners. How about the man that sits behind the booth there whenever a murderer goes in to ride the lightning for the last time and he flips a switch? How about the one that goes into the gas chamber and hits a button and releases the gas into the chamber? Or the lethal injection, the guy that walks in and pushes that syringe? Think God holds him accountable? No, that's the avenger of blood right there. That's the executioner. That's his job that it was given to him to do, to justifiably take the life of another person who deserved death. Because I'm going to tell you, as much as the modern age that we're living in right now tries to think and believe that there are people that don't deserve death, funny to me that the ones that say that they don't deserve death and you shouldn't be killing one another and blah, blah, blah are the ones that are wishing death on certain individuals in government positions. Amen. Bunch of hypocrites is what they are. Amen. But he says, thou shalt not kill. Now, there's killers that God condemns, and there's some that you need to keep in mind. Cain was the first one, killed his brother Abel. And the Lord set a mark on him. And he told him, he said, everybody that sees him is going to know that he was a murderer and he's going to have this mark on him forever. There's numerous killers throughout history that are known for the heinous acts that they did. Not only that, but you got people that commit suicide. Listen, there ain't nothing justifiable in suicide. There ain't nothing to be justified. Listen, you say, what about Samson? Yeah, what about Samson? You see what Samson did? Samson gave his life in the pursuit of killing the Lord's enemies. That's how he lost his life. How else would no different than a man walking into a room knowing that he's going to lose his life, but he kills as many enemies in the room as he can. He walks in, he loses his life, knowing he's going to lose his life. Same situation. Now, not all the killers end their lives. Now, listen, that's something about here we're getting into the spiritual part of it. I'm going through this kind of quick. All right? There's going to be people. There's people that are going to be guilty of murder, but it ain't going to be murder that ended the life. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's people out there that's a murderer of the mind, malice. I'll show you what I'm talking about. He says over in 1 John, and I'll go over here. If you want to go, you can. I'm trying to go as quickly as I'm able to. But in 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. All right, well, what is that? Is that somebody killing somebody physically? No, that's a murder of the mind. That's somebody who's sitting there with hatred and anger in their heart and in their mind toward another individual. And he said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Could you ever be guilty of murder in that fashion? Hating somebody that you know, even though what they're doing may not be right and it may be justifiable that what they did to you was wrong and it was hurtful and it was rude and it was whatever it might have been, but you have that hatred inside of your heart, and he says, whoever's got hatred towards his brother is a murderer. There's murder of the mind. There's murder of the tongue. Amen. Come on over here to James. And in James chapter 3, he says down in verse 8, James chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Deadly poison, because you can be a murderer of the tongue. I mean, you can tear somebody's testimony apart just by taking the wrong words and using them in the wrong places. Amen. You can do just that very thing. You can murder by a pen. What are you talking about? Well, you got David over here, and by the help of the Lord, we're going to be preaching on this come Sunday morning. But you got David, whenever he's trying to cover up his own sin, he's trying to get Uriah to go down and sleep with his wife so the pregnancy of Bathsheba will be able to be covered up like it was Uriah's child. And when Uriah won't do it because of his loyalty to the king and country, he turns around and David writes a letter. And he writes a letter to Joab and sends it by the hand of Uriah. Now, if I ain't careful, I'll start preaching my message, so I'm going to have to back on off of that now. But I'll tell you, this is murder by the pen. What is it? David wrote a letter, sent it to Joab, and Joab saw that it happened and saw that it took place. And the man lost his life because of that. I tell you, it may not be so much that now, I tell you what it is now. I'll tell you what people are doing now. They're picking them things up right there, and they're doing this right here, and they're sending messages, and they're posting this, and they're posting that, and they don't realize it, but they're absolutely murdering people up one side and down the other. Amen. All right, there's another one, murder by consent. How's that? Okay, well, Saul is standing there as an unsaved man, and he's holding the coats of a bunch of people who picked up a bunch of stones to throw at the deacon named Stephen because he wouldn't quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here the Bible says Saul consenting to his death. But Paul never throwed a single rock. No, but he was guilty by consent. He was guilty by consent. I tell you, the dangerous thing about a Christian nowadays is Christians can be guilty by association on so many things it ain't even funny. You got Christians that say, well, I wasn't involved in this. I wasn't there. I wasn't even doing anything. No, but you were there. If you know that stuff's going on and you know you got no sense being there, you just as well to leave and go home and be where you're safe. Amen. Why do you think we've got so many? As a matter of fact, go ahead. We're going to go on to the next one, which is the seventh commandment. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why do you think we got so many marriages busting up? Because people ain't home when they ought to be home. Amen. That's right. That goes for young and old. It don't matter what the age. It don't matter what the circumstance is. If a man goes into a place that he ain't supposed to be in, chances are the devil will have exactly what that man needs to accomplish what means that man's there to accomplish. Amen. All right, thou shalt not commit adultery, he says. Whenever you get into this cause of adultery, There's some reasons that adultery might take place. Let me read you a passage very quickly over in Hebrews. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, and he says down in verse 4, Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Right after that, he tells you that he will let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Great promise of the Lord right there. But it's right after the verse where he tells you that a whoremonger and adulterer God will judge. These things are going to be caused by certain things, and one of them is an unhappy marriage. I tell you, one of the reasons why you've got a 54%, and that's what it was last time I checked. It used to be when a person entered into a marriage, there was a 50-50 chance if they'd stay together, if they'd get divorced. Now it's about 54-56% leaning toward the probability that they'll probably wind up divorced. All right, why is that? Well, a lot of times it's because there's not enough happiness in the marriage. What do you mean by that? Well, a lot of times it's quick marriages. People get together and they ain't known each other a month or 2 months or 3 months, and then they start talking about getting married. They want to get married. They want to get together. They want to be married. And that marriage generally will not last. And I'm not saying that there's not exceptions, but listen, the exception doesn't prove the rule. All right, you can't take one example and say, well, if it worked for them, it'll work for me. No, you can't do that. You got to understand the fact that if you want to get to know somebody, it takes more than a couple of months to get to know somebody. My daddy-in-law told me, he said, it takes time to get to know somebody. He said, because who they are when you're around them on a day-to-day basis ain't the same as when you get in the bed with them at night and they let their hair down. Amen. As the old saying goes, when the doors are shut and the lights go off and they let their hair down, then you're going to find out who they really are. And by then, it might be too late for you to get out of it. So before you get in it, you better make sure you know what you're getting into. Amen. I know I ain't got to say that too much to people in here because y'all know what all this is about. But, you know, this is still the case for a lot of people. Why do you think people are getting into the trouble they're getting in? Because they ain't in the house of God like they ought to be. They ain't in the Word like they ought to be. They ain't praying like they ought to be praying. And they're so quick to jump into a decision because they think it's what they wanted. I'm just trying to follow my heart. No, you better not follow your heart. You better follow the Lord, amen. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? And the Lord knew what was in the heart of a man, and that's why He took a man's heart and He told David, you need to be a man after my heart. And when David prayed after his sin with Bathsheba, which is fornication, he said, he committed adultery with that Bathsheba. Whenever he did that, he said, create within me a clean heart and a new heart. Why do people get in the situations that they get in? Well, a lot of it's because whenever you get into the marriages that you get into now, you've got people marrying that ain't got no character. Either the man ain't got no character, or the woman ain't got no character, or one of them does, or neither one of them do. I mean, you got women that, and I'm not trying to pick on women, I'm certainly not going to do that, but I'm telling you, when you got women that get married today, when they look at that man that they're fixing to get married to, you know who they want him to be? They want him to be like, they either want him to be like their daddy, or they want him to be nothing like daddy. Amen. They either want him to be just like daddy, or nothing like daddy. But when that man shows up and he's got one or two of daddy's qualities in him, then she begins to think, well, that Prince Charming just may never not, he just may not be there. Right. Ladies are looking for Prince Charming. They want Mr. Perfect. And I'll tell you, there ain't too many of them out there. Believe me, I know. I've run with a crowd for a long time. And I know there ain't a lot of them out there. They've all got their flaws and they all got their faults. And I told a bunch of girls this one time at a youth camp. I said, there ain't a whole lot of Mr. Perfects out there, young ladies. And if there is, he may not talk to you. Because you may not be Miss Perfect. You're looking for Mr. Perfect. He's looking for Miss Perfect. And both of you missed the mark. So, you know, how many times you think you want to, I mean, why is it that that don't work? I think it's because whenever they put an expectation on what they say that a person has or has not to be. I mean, I'm glad that whenever it come to her, she made a list, man. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell on her a little bit. She made a list whenever she, before we even met. I mean, before we even met, she made a list of qualifications that her husband had to meet. And she had a partial list of things that he didn't have to meet, but it'd be nice if he did. And there were 60-something of these qualifications. Proud to say I hit 60 of them. I hit them all. Amen. Glory to God. Even the ones that was, well, I can do without this, or I know I've got to have this, or I could do without this. Even some of those, she sits there and she said, I even hit them. But you know, that ain't saying I'm Mr. Perfect. Maybe her aim was off. I don't know. Amen. But listen, you know one of the problems, that you know one of the reasons why you've got marriages that don't last is because people don't have the ability to allow somebody to be an individual. They don't have the ability to stop and realize that though people may not be exactly what you want them to be, they are who they are. Amen. And they're not okay with that. A lot of people will find somebody and what they do is they don't look at this person and say, I love this person for who they are, but they look at this person and say, I can love this person for who they could be. Now see, this may not sound like preaching, but this is preaching. Amen. What is it? This is the reason why you've got so many people in trouble with adultery right now, because people ain't happy with who they've ended up with because they woke up one morning and thought, well, man, I thought I could change him or I thought I could change her, and they ain't changing. In fact, the changes that they are making ain't for the better. And that's the reason when you got things the way that they are. Why was it back in World War II you had so many soldiers who wound up over there and they wound up in battle and they wound up fighting and then some of them wound up captured? And they wound up POWs back in World War II, and some of them spent 38 months, 24 to 38 months overseas in a battle and or in captivity. And when they got out, all they got out and got back to their home base there, and they're getting cleaned up and they're getting medical attention and they're just so relieved, and they're telling them, hey man, keep your chin up. We're fixing to put you on an airplane or put you on a boat. We're going to send you back over to the States. You can go see your wife and family. Oh, by the way, here's all the mail that come to you whenever you was over there captured, and we couldn't get you couldn't get none of you mail to you. And one of the things in the pile of mail was a Dear John. Why is that? You see what I'm saying? I don't know what, just unhappy marriages. Another reason why you've got adultery taking place is because of all the things you see in TVs, magazines, and books. There's another reason why you've got so much adultery. You know, it's more common. I mean, people sit down and they'll watch the TV and they'll watch all these shows and they'll watch these people fall in love and then they'll watch them have the trouble. And I mean, every love story is the same thing. I'm telling you, I can't stand watching any of these because they're all so predictable. I mean, you got the man and the woman and they don't know each other, and then they meet and they kind of get to know each other, and then things get to progressing, and man, they fall in love, and man, it's just, you can just see they're heading off in the sunset, boy, and all of a sudden the climax takes place and the whole thing takes 180 degrees. Now they can't be together, and oh my Lord, how heartbreaking. Then there at the end, one of them's fixing to take a trip on a train or on an airplane or ride off somewhere and never to be seen again, and the one's chasing the taxi down the street. Just, wait! And no, it's not going to happen. Oh, they're just out of reach. And boy, just out of nowhere, a tire blows or something happens. And oh, it's a miracle! No, it's Hollywood. And all these people are stupid enough to watch this stuff and say, my marriage ain't like that. Well, my relationship's never been that way. I must be in a failing relationship. Between 1964 and 1994, what you see is you see the largest jump of the population of the world due to illegitimate births that have increased by 300%. Between 1964 and 1994, you see the largest jump in the population of the world due to the birth of illegitimate children, because that birth rate increased by 300%, because people can't keep happy in their own marriages. And you know what it starts with is it starts with meeting somebody at work. And then it starts with, well, we just went and had lunch. And then it starts, well, we were just getting together, you know, just having, you know, just going out and seeing a movie. And next thing you know, oh, goodness, now what? There's no turning back now. No, I don't have, no, my morals tell me that I shouldn't terminate this pregnancy, but if I want to save face. People wonder why this place is in the shape it's in. Mm-hmm. That's the reason stuff's in the shape that it's in. Now, there's different kinds of adultery. There's three kinds. There's physical, there's desire, and there's spiritual. All right, physical adultery is the exact kind that we've been talking about here. All right, Exodus 20, verse 14. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's physical adultery. All right, whenever you got Joseph over there in the house of Potiphar and he has the opportunity to take the woman of the house, and he could have took her and she was offering herself to him, he rejected the advances, he turned and he ran, and when he turned and ran and rejected her, she turned the story around, lied on him, and wound him up in prison. But the man could have very easily saved himself all the trouble if he had just given in to the temptation and committed the act. See, listen to me, always making the right choice ain't going to always end you up where you want to be. Sometimes just making the right choice will wind you up somewhere you really don't want to be. I mean, here he was, a type of Christ, going to prison and going into a punishment that wasn't his because he did the right thing. There he is. All right, there's physical adultery, and then there's desire. What is that? Well, that's Matthew 5:28. Lord said, if a man look upon a woman to lust after in his heart, he's committed adultery with her already. Now listen, that's a dangerous one right there, because what happens is, is it wrong for me if I look at some, say, well, if I'm going down the road and I see some half-naked woman, I can't just, you know, it's not like I can just turn my eyes away from her. It ain't that first look that gets you. It's the second one. You look and you see and you cut your eyes back away, that ain't where the problem is. The problem is whenever you almost passed and you get almost passed and you're looking in that rearview mirror. That's where the problem comes. Hey, listen, it ain't the first glance. It's the second one. That's what it is, desire. Through desire. I mean, that's what got Eve in trouble. Amen? Standing there at that tree of knowledge of good and evil, she looked at that fruit, having known what God said about it, and she said, she looked at that fruit, and it says that she saw that it was good for food, and that it was a desire to make one wise. It was pleasant to the eye. She took of it and doomed the race of mankind after she took it and her husband. Amen. And then there's spiritual adultery. Solomon having 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon goes out and begins to worship idols that belong to all these strange women that he was loving. What did he do? He committed spiritual adultery. Hey, listen, that's what Israel's guilty of over in Hosea. In fact, over in the book of Hosea, the Lord begins to tell Hosea that the wife that he took, which was a wife of whoredoms, you remember? Hey, lost her name. Is that her name? Gomer. Okay, Gomer. Yeah, that's right. All right, so he goes over there and he gets a wife of whoredoms. He marries her and they have a couple of young'uns together, and she begins to miss that old life and that old way, so she turns around and leaves home and goes back to the auction block and winds up out there selling herself, winds up on the auction block getting auctioned off, and whenever Hosea shows up, he bids higher than everybody else. He gets her and he takes her back and he says, now you're going to stay with me now. The Lord says, this is a tight picture of my relationship with Israel. He said, they've gone whoring after other gods and they've turned their back on me and they've left me. He said, and I'm going to divorce them. And he divorces Israel for a time, and that's what's going on right now until he gets back. And then the Bible says that he's going to take her back and he's going to restore her back to the position she was originally in and give her everything he originally promised. But see, Solomon as a man stood there and took the idols that was of the wives that he had taken that were strange, many strange women, and he began to worship those idols. He began to commit spiritual adultery. I mean, it wasn't just him, too. I mean, you've got other people like Saul. Saul never committed adultery, physical adultery, a day in his life, but he started going after witchcraft. And whenever the Lord quit answering him because the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, he went and consulted a witch and had her call up Samuel from the dead and question him why he wasn't getting no answers from God. All both of these situations wound up losing both of these men the kingdom that they were ruling. Now there's a couple of things that you can have that'll cure adultery. What's the cure for adultery? Well, over in the book of Job, he tells you this, and I'm trying to hurry. I'm about done. All right, I'll come over here and we'll read you one verse over here in Job chapter 30. Job chapter 30 and verse 1. It's a pretty familiar verse. He says, but now, Job 31. 31:1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? That's what Job says. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Why do you think upon a maid? Because you're looking at one. He says, but I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? So what's one of the ways to cure adultery? Learn how to control your eyes. Learn how to control your eyes. Turn them in the right direction. Listen, if you know that there's something that's causing you to commit spiritual adultery on the Lord, anything that's taking you away from Him when He rightly deserves what you're offering right now, then you need to get your eyes back on the good things of God and what's good. I mean, listen, if putting your eyes on that boob tube for 6 hours a day is taking you away from Him, maybe you ought to cut back. Amen. Give Him a little more of your time. Amen. All right, you want another cure for adultery? How about love in the home instead of lust? Amen. Marriage built on love is built on a relationship that'll last long after the lust burns out. Because I'll tell you something, lust will get old and lust will burn out. And if you base everything in marriage or in relationships on physicality, that will eventually be gone. And when it is, only the relationship that you've built from the start is what's going to remain. Amen. Listen to me. When you're walking with the Lord in the youth of your life and the Spirit of the Lord is just blessing you and you're enjoying fellowship with God, and then one of these days by the time that God allows and your body begins to fail you, it's going to get harder to enjoy things. It's going to get harder to be not weak and not hurting and not in pain and not with trouble and not with this and not with that and not with worry and things like that. But listen, it's those times whenever the relationship you built upon way back then is going to be the one that shines through. Why? What is that? What are you talking about? Listen, was things always going good for you when you were lost without hope and without God, and then you came to Him for salvation and He saved your soul? I know a lot of people come to salvation because things in their life weren't going good. I don't know a whole lot of people whose life, unless they were young, really, really young when they got saved. Listen, I was 9 years old when I got saved. I don't remember too many things that was going on in my life right then that was bad. But I know there's a lot of folks that got up into their teenage years and adult years and things started getting bad for them, and that's what helped them find the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's what helped them get saved. You know what it's going to take? Now that you're saved and you walk with the Lord and you fellowship with the Lord and He's just blessing you as much as He does, He's as good to you as He is, and you can enjoy everything He's doing for you. One of these days when you get older and you can't get like you used to and you can't go like you used to. Listen, folks sitting at home right now would love nothing more than to be here tonight. Amen. Can't get out of the house. Ain't able to get out for strength of failing. Can't get out and walk or anything. I think about Preacher Johnny sitting over there right now over at Slabtown. Or not Slabtown, but over there at Timber Ridge. Man would love nothing more than be able to get out and go to the house of God somewhere. He may be. Who knows? The Lord may give him the grace to get up tonight and make his way to Hamburg. Now, who knows? But I'm going to tell you that man don't get to go and do as much as he'd like to. And I'll tell you, the only thing that keeps him from falling and getting into a place of spiritual depression is the fact that years ago that man has started a relationship with Jesus Christ and he walked with him and he enjoyed the things with him and he didn't just be a fair-weather friend. Amen. A lot of times you see spiritual adultery take place whenever a Christian is only a good Christian when things are going good for them. Yeah. Amen. All right. Love in the home instead of lust. How about prayer in the home instead of provocation? How about instead of getting your kicks off of just bugging somebody enough to see if you can get a reaction out of them, how about praying for them some more? Amen. Instead of getting bored with your life and seeing how mad you can make somebody and you not caring how mad they get at you, how about praying for them and ask God to do something for them? Amen. And then lastly is this, you need to spend some time in the Word. Need to spend time in the Word. How else are we gonna get beyond these things that we get into from time to time? Psalm 119. I know that's a really long one, but I'm gonna read you a verse here. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's a cure for adultery. Why? I'll tell you right now, listen to me. There ain't no more time that the Lord has that I have a problem with my thought life than when I sit down and I'm trying to read the Word of God or pray. That's when I have the hardest time trying to keep my mind from things that it ought not to be getting into. I get to thinking about all these things. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't have a problem telling you this, but if that woman right there knowed everything that went through my mind on a daily basis, she'd probably leave me so fast that my head would swim. Why? I'm not sitting here claiming to be something I'm not. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's things that I have that go through my mind and I sit here and think, where did that come from? What in the world made that go through here? No, I don't want that. No, I don't care about that. No, I don't desire that. Where did that come from? That's the seed that the devil can plant inside of a mind that's trying to reach Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's sometime it's spending the Word that's going to help keep that from happening. That's the cure. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. All right, let's look at one more verse and I'm done. John 17. And in John 17, you've got the Lord praying, and He's praying for the people that are going to be here. And here's what He says, John 17, 17, sanctify them. What's sanctify? It means set apart for use. To be set apart for the Master's use, sanctification. He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You want the truth? It's going to come from the word. You want sanctification? You want to be set aside for the Lord's use? It's going to come through the word of God. But I'll tell you something. That's the reason why you got a lot of people right now that's in spiritual adultery. Let's say, I ain't never cheated on my spouse a day in my life. No, but how many times have you cheated on the Lord? Amen? How many times you committed spiritual adultery? How many times have you walked away from the hand that's done nothing but love you and cared for you and took care of you? Never one time has He ever made you feel unwanted or unappreciated or uncared for or alone. He said, if I'll never leave you, now I'll never forsake you. He said, every need that you've got, I'll supply according to my riches and glory. He said that the love that I have that you experience is not because you love me, but because I loved you first. Amen. And if you want to understand my love, you're going to have to learn how to love Him. I think a lot of the reasons why we wind up in a state of spiritual adultery is because we just don't know how to love Him right. Because our love for Him has to do with the fact of whether or not the love for us is shown. And I'm talking in a material manner. Hey, listen, I know that, and I fail at this. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it's been about this year. I've never had as much trouble doing things as I have this year, and she'll tell you. She never, ever had to use to tell me, hey, you know what? Some flowers would be nice. She never had to tell me that. She's had to tell me that twice this year. You know what happens? I feel plumb ashamed of myself. I really do. Say, does she doubt you love her? No, she don't doubt that I love her. She knows I love her. But you know what? It's nice if she sees it every once in a while. That's why when it comes around to Mother's Day and things like that, and we're here for Mother's Day celebrating, I like to come in here with a big old vase of flyers, and I like to give each one of these ladies a flyer. Why? Because it's Mother's Day, and if your husband didn't get you one, I like to make him feel like a dog. Amen. You go home and say, man, what kind of Mother's Day is this? Even my preacher got me a flower. What's the matter with you? You ain't got no excuse. Say, preacher, you ain't doing me no favors. No, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you out. Listen, we get in a spiritual state of adultery. This country is in a spiritual state of adultery. This country is in a widespread spiritual state of adultery right now. Why? Because they've left the Lord their God. Listen, He told the church over there in Sardis, I believe it was, He said, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first. He said, you've left your first love. That's the way this church has gotten. The church of today has left the love that loved them so much that He died for them. That's the reason why they're in the condition that they're in. And I'll tell you something. If we don't get back to the way that it needs to be, and that's getting in the book, and getting on our knees, we're going to wind up in a state of spiritual adultery that one of these days we're going to turn around and there's going to be a lot of illegitimate fruits that's going to be gathering around us that we're going to look around and say, these don't belong to the Lord. And He ain't going to have no glory out of these and the harvest. Listen, I can't just spray them and hope they die. Amen. They ain't no spiritual abortions. Amen. I can't go to Dr. Somebody and have him just uproot the problem. I can't do that. When I plant that, it's going to come up and there ain't going to be no hiding it. The Lord's going to come around. He's going to see all that stuff taking root and growing, and He's going to say, what's all this? I don't remember you and me planting this. And it ain't going to be nothing but to say, well, Lord, I can't pull them up until they come to fruition. Because you said that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if we don't want to reap spiritual adultery, we better make sure we're doing everything we can to remain faithful to Him. Amen. Father, may You bless us now as we go into the prayer meeting. And Father, may You get glory out of what's done. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.